I would like to call the Milford School Board meeting on Monday, August the 19th, 2019, to order at 7:26. We need a roll call.
Mr. Balthazar Lopez? Mr. Miller?
Here.
Mrs. Purcell?
Here.
Mr. Thompson?
Here.
Mr. Besmar?
Here.
Mrs. Wiley? Reverend Wiley?
All right. I would like to suggest, in the best interest of the public, that we delay our adjournment to executive session until later in the agenda. What is the thoughts of the board?
I would agree.
Okay, so I need a motion then?
I'll move to move the adjournment to executive session to the end of our meeting.
Okay, Mr. Miller has made a motion to move our executive session to the end of the meeting.
I'll second it.
And that was Mr. Thompson?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Thompson has seconded. So all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Anybody abstaining? Okay. So now we'll go on to introduction of visitors.
Jason Deal.
Sarah Kirby.
George Mason.
John Hoviada.
Seth Beaver.
Justin Forsley.
Gary Zoll.
Mr. Moss.
Scott Haley.
Okay, thank you. And if we'll all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, I'm looking for approval of minutes for our regular meeting on July the 29th, 2019.
Move to approve our regular meeting minutes for July 29th, 2019, as provided.
Okay, Mr. Miller has moved that we accept the regular meeting minutes of July the 29th as provided.
I'll second it.
Okay, Mr. Thompson has seconded that proposal. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstaining? So I need approval for regular meeting minutes for August the 12th, 2019.
Move to approve the regular meeting minutes for August the 12th, 2019, as provided.
Okay, Mr. Miller has moved to accept the regular meeting minutes for August the 12th. I need a second.
I'll second.
Mr. Besmar has seconded that motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All those abstaining? Pass. Any changes or additions to our agenda?
Yes. We'd like to move the executive session until after number 15, where it says instruction and student programs. In addition, we'd like to move 14A, personnel action item under Dr. Peel, until after we come back out of executive session. In addition, we'd also like to take 10A and table that till the September meeting as far as summer projects.
I don't need approval for that. All right. We'll go to recognition and accomplishments.
Okay, had a great staff, new staff orientation last week. Just a couple of thank yous here to Applebee's, Arenas, Chick-fil-A, Dolce, Grotto's, Mama Maria's, Milford Diner, Redner's, Shanghai, and Walmart for their donations for the new teacher orientation, specifically for the lunch they had on the second day. Also want to acknowledge to our administrators and all our buildings also for welcoming our new staff here to the Milford School District into their schools. So well done. I thought those couple days, and I think it was a great start here to acclimating our new staff into our district. In In addition here, also want to congratulate Bannock Elementary and Ross Elementary for receiving a Unified Champion Schools National Banner from Special Olympics North America. So only two of only five schools statewide to be honored and 173 schools nationally to be honored. So congratulations to those schools and obviously to our administrators and also our coordinators in both those schools as well.
Is that it?
Yeah.
We have no names on our public comment. Is there anyone that would wish to have public comment at this time? All right, then we go to number 11, that's school safety, Mr. Fobiano.
Okay, since the last meeting, we've had a couple discussions with RAVE representatives, Mr. Lobiondo, Mr. Whaley, Dr. Stevenson, who's not here tonight, myself also participating in some discussions. Do want to acknowledge the work that Mr. Whaley and Dr. Stevenson did to geofence all of our schools and like with quadrants and across our district. So if you have any questions with that, Mr. Whaley can help you in that regard. One thing I'm going to propose here just before Mr. Lobiondo begins speaking here. We'd like to do a soft rollout of really the RAVE Act. What we mean by that is we'd really like to be able to have access as far as our administrators in our schools and district-wide, and also a small group that are really mobile as far as personnel through our schools. So you're talking about SROs, constables, maybe talking about some counselors, discipline deans, those type of things there. Maybe a couple of teacher leaders too, but really keeping it to a small group of administrators and 4 to 5 staff members when we roll it out. One thing that we did determine here, maybe a little bit more clarity this time, this will not be accessible by our students, okay, in that regard as well. So really be staff. There are some schools that are our districts who have already implemented this in the past. We do have a couple of districts that we know who are going to go full force with this before the school year. And then some doing slow rollouts as we're discussing here. So we may eventually get to a full staff. One thing that we did find out a little bit here in talking to our attorney, obviously we don't hand out phones to all of our employees, so it would have to be an option of the employee to utilize. Same token, we feel like that most of our employees would embrace having this option. So I'm going to let Mr. Obiondo kind of pick up from here and maybe kind of get into any questions that we maybe had answered from the last time. If you have any more additional questions for us, hopefully we can answer those.
I'm just going to touch on a couple different things. I think they were maybe left over, not real clear from the last meeting. We control access to anybody that's on the system. Right now, to my knowledge, Scott is the only one that has that access. So we get to decide who's on the system and who isn't. They've been working on geofencing, as that was said earlier. One thing I did find out that I find interesting is even though someone activates the system, it automatically calls the call board at 911 if you ever make that call. They know it's coming from the RAVE system. But in addition to that, I was told that someone would also have to make a 911 call in order to get information to them so that they can get it to the first responder. So it's not just a push the button and go back to business kind of thing. I had a few questions since Scott and I were talking. They have reached out to us. Kent County has reached out to us. They're willing to help us do some training. They're willing to help us have some people come up there and see on their end what the system looks like. So we're working on getting that put together. And other than that, the geofencing is complete. Every school district, to my knowledge right now, in Southern Delaware is at least that far. Some of them are rolling it out to admin, some of them are rolling it out to their full staff. So different decisions have been made at the district level, and we'll move forward as we can. Do you have any questions with regard to the RAVE system?
We have educational training materials from RAVE, and we'll start that process with our principals this Wednesday, you know, as an administrative team. And then we'll kind of branch out from there. Also, with the next week, we'll do a test here from 911 call center from Kent County. Obviously, they have 3 of our schools. Then we have Sussex County 911 call center has our 3 southern schools. Okay, everybody okay if we start out with a soft rollout in that regard? And if we get to the point where we're going out to our entire staff, we'll be back here to inform you then.
If it still needs to have a 911 call, what is the app providing?
The app provides a faster response from 911. They know that it's from the living system, so that they know it's tied directly to a school somewhere if something is going on, so they'll automatically start rolling whatever resources they need that way. And again, that's based on the app itself, which button you push, whether DMS or law enforcement. Active shooter is going to be a totally different response from that. But my understanding of the process now is when you call 911, they're going to start asking a whole list of questions before right. they start rolling someone in the direction. So it's going to save minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Lobiano. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Superintendent's report.
Dr. Kilgore for Benjamin Banneker. And what we're going to do tonight here is just give you a quick overview of some maybe new initiatives, some priorities, some focus areas in each of our schools. And Morris will tell you that till next time as well.
Good evening. So some typical things I think across the board. I do want to give particular kudos to Shirley Cole because our building looks amazing. We have had a couple of classrooms that had tile put into them instead of carpet. So those have been done, and so we're looking forward to starting this year with significant floors, and the teachers have been very appreciative of coming in. And also I wanted to share that teacher feedback from what I have heard is they are very appreciative of having an opportunity to select which day they would like to work this week. Kind of gives them a softer start with their schedules, but also those that want to come in and work multiple days have the opportunity to do so as well. So just passing that along. We at Banneker, we have two main real focuses this school year. One is our new curriculum bookworms, so that's going to be a big shift for us. So that is a big focus. The other focus that we've chosen for this school year is a real re-emphasis and focus on trauma-informed practices throughout everything that we're doing. So we're going to start with some soft starts where students are going to have some choices when they come into the classroom to get them excited about coming in and starting their day. I don't know about you guys, but if I don't have my coffee and a soft start to my day, it makes me a little anxious. So we're trying to provide that for our kiddos as well. And our self-contained classrooms have been doing this for what seems like forever, and it's really a great practice for all of our students. So we are going to be doing that as well. We're also going to be doing morning meetings, so just building those relationships and letting the kids know we really care about them being there. And then we definitely have a team approach on building relationships. So it looks a little different, but instead of just handing out a consequence to a kid, sitting down, really figuring out what happened, how they can choose to do things differently, and making that teachable for them because they need to have those experiences just like they do teaching their parents. So those are pretty much our two main focuses for the school year, which I think will be enough for us to focus on. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. McKenzie, and when you hear ABA and you also hear with trauma-informed, they all have mental health components as well. So inherently, we're also having some mental health training embedded within those programs as we go forward too.
At Lostwell, one of the things that we have focused on is we have a new assistant principal. So we have, she and I have been working together to get her acclimated to her new position. Actually, she's had very little time at the school because she's been in a lot of trainings ever since she was hired. A lot of BPAS training, and then we went to bookworms training, and she'll be attending our ABA trainings, the trainings that we've been through at Bronx over the last couple of years. She'll be attending those next week. So in the meantime, she's been doing a lot of copying for our new bookworms program. She's been pretty busy and has been a great asset so far this year. Over the summer, we did attend a 3-day bookworm training, and we've been looking at how we can schedule the new reading program into our current instruction time to ensure that the teachers are getting the support they needed. There's a differentiated instruction block within the reading program that requires some extra assistance, so we've been working on our scheduling over the last few weeks. And Ross did receive an additional $25,000 in the June grant and it was in relation to Bookworm's professional development. So we will have some additional professional development that will be focused specifically on our special education students and our EL students, in addition to whatever regular professional development is normally with the Bookworm student program. We also, this past couple of weeks ago, the first 2 weeks in August, we hosted Lost Rangers. You probably heard a little bit about it. It was to jumpstart some of the EL kindergarten students coming over from Morris, and then to assist some of our current first grade EL students with maintaining what they've gained over the past year. It was quite successful. We had 4 classrooms of students, and at the end, News Journal came in and did a little coverage on it. You may have seen it. It was on their media. Oh, you're gonna show it.
No,
sorry. So that was kind of exciting. And then Dr. Dickerson talked about our special needs program. And just recently, we hired an additional counselor, social worker, which came to us through a state grant. So we're really excited to have that additional support for our students who are struggling with mental health issues and other types of issues. We had a lot of homelessness last year and just other needs within our school. So they will be working very closely with the counselor we now have and our social worker that we currently have. So as with Banter, our plan is to also move forward with some restorative practices for classroom management as opposed to a school-wide token economy system. The current studies are indicating that the token economy system that we're currently using may have a reverse effect on kids who are struggling. So we are looking forward to building some relationships with our students, and we will be purchasing a book called Better Than Carrots or Sticks, and we will be using that with our staff as we go forward with this.
What was the book again?
It's called Better Than Carrots or Sticks, and it specifically addresses restorative practices for classroom management.
Thank you.
Mr. Whaler, do you have that video as well? Can we go ahead and put that up there now? Is that okay?
For those who are going to be seniors at basically students who are coming in first and second grade trying to learn their basic language interaction skills.
And so these are students who come September 3rd, will be the first and second grade, who are English learners who need some more development in some of their weaker areas. So we're focusing on things like math, reading, and getting them ready for the school year. With our English learners, it's a little bit different because sometimes they're going into a home where they're not hearing English, that's the language that they're taught in most of the day. So they are losing out on those skills that they worked so hard on. My friend here in first grade, where you're learning a lot of the basic spelling rules, the basic grammar rules, the sight words that are things that you see every day that are a little bit hard to code. So coming in here, get them ready for second grade to make sure that even though they've gotten an education, they're not just blindsided when they're coming in for second grade and have to adjust. Just give them a few adjustment periods, then they'll have a little bit more resistance so they feel a little bit more comfortable.
Okay, we thank obviously Ms. McKenzie there for your leadership with the program and Dr. Amory as well. And you saw Ms. Brooks and Ms. Lee, outstanding teachers there at Ross and others who contributed to the program as well. And also just want to talk about, we had many teachers and staff members across the district involved with summer programming. So very fortunate for that, having good people here working with our kids during the summer. So thank them as well. So anything else you'd like to add there, Dr. Amory or Ms. McKenzie, at the Ross Rangers?
Experience,
Awesome. Thank you. Ms. Wallace, Ms. Pillion.
I want to just talk a little bit about bookworms. I know all the elementary schools are implementing the same curriculum. Just to add a little bit of information, we did have a group of teachers as well that went to the training at the University of Delaware. And this group was a group of teacher leaders, which included self-contained teacher. And this group will come together as our BLT team, FOL team, which is the bookworm leadership team, and help support our teachers throughout the school year. We also will continue our compassionate school focus this year, which is a trauma-informed focus that we have been concentrating on for the past couple of years. And it does involve a lot of responsive classroom techniques and strategies, as well as restorative practices. So we will continue with professional development in that area and supporting our teachers in that support group. We are working very hard. We did have Parks and Rec over the summer, and our custodial staff worked hard to get our building ready. And it looks fabulous. They did some power washing outside, and thank you to the district custodial staff are coming over and doing some things up, bringing over something so that we can do some work up high. And it looks really nice. And I'd also like to thank the technology staff for preparing technology in our classroom. We're ready to welcome our teachers and our students back to our building.
Thank you. Mr. Zoll.
Four quick updates from NCA, and then we'll talk about our focus areas for the year moving on. I'll pull through those new year. First off, our open house happening next Wednesday, the 28th. We're inviting sixth grade families to come from 5 to 6:30, meeting administration in the gym at 5. And then 7th to 8th grade families are invited to attend from 6:30 to 8, meeting administration at 6:30. We're also going to have a lot of community partners set up in here in the cafeteria with information tables for our parents and all the students. We're excited for our first day with sixth graders next Friday, next Thursday. Ms. Bruns is coming with an excellent plan to allow all of our students to get an informative tour of our school. All their teachers are going through their schedules so they're ready for the first full day of school after Labor Day. Students will be dismissed at 2:30 that day. Athletics, our football team will be in practice this coming Monday, with all of our sports teams being in practice the second day of school, which will be September 4th. There's an all-call going out for the day for all of our students. And then we're also very excited to roll out our new six-period schedule that we talked about a couple months ago with you guys. It's going to allow more choice for our students this year. So the students this year are going to take 4 expressions a year instead of 8. This is going to allow our teachers to dive further into content and hopefully prepare our students to truly decide on a pathway at the end of the school. And then this year, our 3 focus areas at MCA are going to deal with instruction, attendance, and then social-emotional learning. So for our in-service days, obviously our ELA teachers are going to work closely with Amplify coaches on their new curriculum, but all of our staff will work with 2 different consultants, ABC Consulting and No Bully Initiative, on SEL strategies for our students and for our teachers. We're trying a campaign this year for attendance that we're going to call Strive for 5, where we're going to ask all of our students and staff to try for 5 or less absences this year. We're going to build incentives into our school year to try to improve our attendance numbers. And each of our counselors is teamed up with an administrator per grade level to better meet with and work with our students as part of that goal. And finally, our PLCs this year are going to focus mostly on data. Thanks to Ms. Bruns and Dr. Marvin for attending Relay this year. We're implementing weekly data meetings and various protocols to have a big focus on student engagement.
Thank you. Mr. Parson.
A couple things that we just started this in the last 2 weeks. Our fall sports have begun. We have over 170 students participating in fall sports. Obviously, we're starting that 8th grade pilot program with 8th grade students participating potentially in varsity sports at the high school level. We have 9 eighth graders that are currently trying out for volleyball, field hockey, and cross country. So we'll know a little bit more in the coming weeks as far as how many of those students are going to stay with the high school program to transition back to the academy. MHS Marching Bucks had their band week. They had a wonderful showing two Fridays ago, showing us their halftime show, so they're ready for Friday Night Lights. Yesterday, cheerleaders Brooke Davis and Flea Reynolds were selected as All-American representatives at the New Year's Day parade in London. So there'll be some more news to follow with that. That's pretty exciting for them. We found out this morning that the Delaware Art Education Association recognized Green Richards as the high school level art educator of the year for 2019-2020. And that's exciting for Green as well. We're really excited for her. Over the state fair, Milford FFA received the prestigious Gold Chapter Award, that rating from the state of Delaware FFA. They are a top tier chapter based upon program activities for the entire year. So all the work that they put in all year recognized them as a Gold Chapter. As all of our custodial staff have done an amazing job this year, the high school is the building that doesn't sleep. We are continuously having students in our building, community events within our building, and our custodial staff has done an amazing job to work around all of those obstacles to make sure that we're ready, for students, and we're getting pretty close. So kudos to those guys, and Glenn and the maintenance guys have really done a lot of great work around our facility as well with painting some of our entrance ways and pressure washing and those type of things. They did a lot of work within one of our courtyards that looks great as well. So we're real proud of the way our facilities look, and we hope we've done a gymnasium this year with the wrap around the gym and the resources and the floors and things of that nature. Our focus is for the year, just like with all the other schools, we're adopting a new 9 through 12 English curriculum through Pearson. And our teachers will be going through professional development throughout the year to make sure that we're adopting those resources with rigor and solid commitment to make sure that we're doing the best we can with the new materials for our students. All of the rest of our other departments, we have done a really nice job with our recent hires, but each department has some type of new teacher, whether they were new this year, whether they were new last year. We really need to take a look at our common curriculum and make sure that we're updating those scripts and sequences to make sure that each teacher, whether the newer veteran, have an idea of what their classes should look like. So two different students are taking over one class with two different teachers, that there should be a common plan involved and a common assessment involved. So we'll be working with those teachers this year to make sure that we're using Illuminate and some of the other resources that the district is providing to us to make sure that we're heading in the right direction there. We are also working with our teachers regarding common reform schools. We're working with the Delaware State Education Association and providing some professional development for us to make sure that not only our new teachers, but our veteran teachers are able to recognize the signs and be able to handle the classroom in a different manner than they've done in the past. So those are the things we're working on this year.
Thank you. Just some upcoming events. We have a welcome event with all our staff here across the district next Monday, the 26th, 7:30. Doors will open. A la carte type breakfast items, juice, coffee in the lobby, and then welcome event starts at 8:15 a.m. in the auditorium. Kindergarten orientation is August 29th. You have the different times here. They split them up there, hour and a half at a time, from 8:30 to 3 o'clock. They have different groups, and you have that there. Banneker, Miss Plain, and Ross meet the teacher August 29th. We do have our first graders coming in from 8 to 9:30 in the morning. They do come in with their families. Then also our second and third graders from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock meet the teacher, and fourth and fifth graders from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. That's all of our first grade through fifth grade elementary schools. Mr. Zoll already did the MCA, so tonight you beat me. Usually I'm going the other way around, so that worked out good. Then the high school has their scheduled release night tomorrow night from 5 to 6:30. Open house is 6 to 7:30 on August 27th. And we talked about it earlier too, sixth grade orientation, freshman orientation, August 29th, and look forward to welcoming all our students back here on September 3rd for the first day of school. Okay, you have attachment 3 in your binder there, school administrator salary study. We do ask tonight, this is the MOU from the University of Delaware to conduct such a study, to provide feedback back to the board to look at administrator salaries. You can see here, it does identify they've cut down as far as the number of districts. They are downstate districts that we thought were comparable or ones that are kind of right here next to us in that regard. And we also looked at the positions there. You can see everything from our directors right on through to our principals, assistant principals, supervisors are part of that study. Any questions that you have at this point in time? You can see also the price for this or cost for this is $2,500, considerably less than what we had come back to us about a month ago. So they really worked with us here to provide, I think, a good a cost number, but also a good plan here to look at some comparisons. So thoughts or anything else that you'd like to see maybe us to include with this study?
It looks to me like pretty much what we talked about. You're right, the price did come down, which is nice. The only unfortunate thing is we've had almost half of our board not present this evening. May or may not have an opportunity to review this and may or may not have opinion on this. I hate to keep pushing it back, but I'll see if the rest of the folks can say.
Well, I need to take a lead from the board itself on whether or not this is something that we feel like we can vote on tonight, or if it's something that we need to table.
So it looks like the length of the project is about a month.
Yes, they have most of the data right there. They can they have the data. It's valid. There's analysis looking at different models that they will present as far as options back to the board. Some comparative to studies too. Sorry.
I was going to say, how important is that September 1st date? Is that just the date that they selected, or they could really start it whenever we ask them to?
With that said, if you're looking for a motion, I'd like to make a motion to table this until our next meeting. And then hopes that we have board to make a more informed decision.
Okay, it has been moved by Mr. Miller to table the school administrator salary study until the next meeting due to 3 members not being here. Do I hear a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, I have a second by Mr. Vesmar. We have any discussion on the motion? Then all those in favor of tabling the school administrator salary study until the next meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Anybody abstaining? Then we table.
And just from here, we probably will ask University of Delaware just to change those dates from October 1 through November 1. Anything else you want us to look at, maybe including this MOU, that's something that's not there, or another district that you'd like to be as far as the surrounding districts that are looked at?
Actually, I would prefer them not even put a bracket like that. Just tell us that it's going to be 30 days, you know, approximately 30 days to complete the study. You don't pin themselves into a set date.
It does say that, or one month after the contract has been signed.
It doesn't appear there's a need to modify the contract.
No, I think it can be just left alone.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll move in that direction in our collaboration with the University of Delaware. Okay. The next item here is certificate of necessity. We were the first district. I don't know if it earns us additional points or anything like that. I don't think it actually does, but we were the first district to submit our certificate of necessity. Again, it is for the old middle school grounds for a 1,000 student fifth and sixth grade configuration. So have to give a lot of congratulations. I'll say kudos to Ms. Croce for all her hard work as far as it's having our certificate of necessity done, all the information provided in there, and up to Dover as, again, the first one submitted. So we do understand that there's also many other districts across the state, upwards to maybe 11 or 12 districts we're hearing that are also submitting, so there will be stiff competition, I'm sure, for the approval of certificate of necessity. We will state our case as we did in what we submitted, and we'll have to go from there, but we'll keep you updated. I think mid-October we will find out in that regard whether it would be one that would be approved or endorsed by the state. Okay, any questions? Again, Ms. Croce, thank you for getting the work done there and getting a good submission for us. Thank you.
Okay. Next thing on the agenda is Ms. Sierra Croce for business.
I just have two things on the agenda for this evening. First is the monthly revenue and expenditure reports. The revenue and expenditure reports as of July 31st are kind of slow to get started, only because we are beginning the fiscal year. So you can see on the revenue side, we're just getting partial load of our state funds. They really depend heavily on our September 30th income figures, and they will likely load the rest of those funds in October. You can see there on the revenue side, a lot of our state funds loaded, some at 100%, most at 75% to 80%. On the local side, we won't receive the bulk of our tax revenue until September or October. So it does look kind of light there just for the first few months of the fiscal year. And then on the federal side, we did submit our consolidated grant for the first submission in July. We received feedback and resubmitted today with our revisions for that, in terms that we had just two grants that had feedback that needed to be revised, and I'm hoping that goes through with no changes this round. On the expenditure side, again, a little bit like getting started, just getting some of those encumbrances for classroom materials and supplies. A bulk of what you see the spend on is just formula and salaries. Are there any questions about the revenue or expenditure report for everyone?
Okay, then I will move to have a motion to accept the revenue and expenditure report as of July 31st, 2019.
I'll make the motion to accept to approve the motion or the expenditure and revenue report as presented.
Okay, Mr. Thompson has moved to accept the revenue and expenditure report as of July the 31st, 2019. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Desmond is a second. Is there any discussion? Okay, all those in favor of accepting the revenue and expenditure report as of July the 31st, 2019, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstaining? Accept.
Thank you very much. The next item I have on the agenda this evening is revisions to Board Policy 4308. This is our salary schedule for substitutes. Last month we brought this for first reading under numbers 3 and 5. We're just making an adjustment because Board Policy 4303A for the custodial substitutes was removed, as was 4305 for secretaries. So those board policies no longer exist. So in order for this, we're just pointing to the scale that is going to be negotiated with the agreement for both those bargaining units. Are there any questions?
I will need to have a motion on the request approval of Board Policy 4308, salary schedule for substitutes.
So moved.
And that was? Mr. Bazemar has moved.
Second.
And Mr. Thompson?
Miller.
No?
It was Miller.
It was Miller. I understand that. What Mrs. Wiley was saying.
Vocal twins.
Okay. So it has been moved and seconded to accept the request approval of the Board Policy 4308, salary schedule for substitutes. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Anybody abstaining? So approved. Okay, we now have instruction and student programs because we have
We're going to try to ask Ms. Purcell if we can to keep it with me. We just moved the 14A, So I'd like to proceed with B and C here right now.
I am sorry.
Is that okay?
I misunderstood that. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're right.
In regards to the Stop It app application, last year we learned about this app and came to it some. We thought it was really, could be a good thing for us, but we're leery about starting in the middle of the school year. We also knew that other school districts were starting to use the app primarily on the app. And we talked about it, we wanted to first see some of their feedback from it before. The Stop It app is an anonymous reporting system, so essentially students are, and you also have a handout related to your package or the app itself. Essentially, students are given a code that they're able to use once they download an app that connects them with our school. And they're able to report whatever they want anonymously through that app. The reports go directly to administrators who we have are able to designate who they go to. And then administrators are able to look at it and how many. The good thing about the Stop It app, really the format of mobile, most schools have a phone or something to use. It's easy to use. The app is very simple. There's a type concept that goes in. There's actually a picture of the screen there, just with a few, if they're going to write something and that sort of thing. It's also written, so you get a written documentation of whatever it is. It's not just verbal or someone said this or that. You have some written documentation that kind of goes through. You can also upload video and photos and anything like that to share. We're required actually two kind of sections here in kind of 14. Have a reporting system. We do have an online form that is on our website that people can go and put out the form. But that is, it's not as quick, it's not as accessible. We're more laborious, we're going to be right there, and that's okay. And also goes through email. So you have an email that you may not be checking out all the time. And with this app, too, we have a 24/7 monitoring system. So even if administrators, their phones are off in the middle of the night and something happens, there's actually a company monitors the reports that come through and will first try to alert the administrator by calling on the cell phone or calling to have a list. And if no one can be reached, to actually call 911. So if there was something that was urgent to report potential harm to a student, that nature, if they really need the new training to do this, then they would go ahead and make that report. Also, direct communication with administrators, where administrator can also write back. So it's anonymous to a point. There may be a time where administrator needs to say, I need to know more information. You can actually have a dialogue back and forth with the person that did report. But also, the fact that it's through the app, it's not a direct line of communication. A lot of teachers and coaches are using the Remind system right now. It's not through the cell phone number of administrators, not through their email, not through their personal text. This is through the app. So it preserves the anonymity of the student, but also it protects the administrator from not using that personal text. So, basically, the report being made to an administrator, decision on whether or not it's an emergency, then administrators can actually push it off or can send it and assign it to another administrator to look into. And there's also a communication to the report factors. There will be training for administration to start out with on how to use it, and then you share and kind of launch it with the students and say, here's our code for. Primarily at Norfolk High School and Central Academy, we have the code. We log on, and each school has a different code, and then they would put that into the app, and then they would have access to it. And then we want to promote it among families and community. So there is this report students are worried about consequences, worried about being the person that told, worried about not protecting their friends, things may that come back on them, and that sort of thing. So this is really to try and remove any of those obstacles so that whenever the student knows something about another student, if they're going to harm themselves, knows about bullying that may be taking place, drug use or any of those things, then they can feel comfortable to remove the student. I know the one thing you may be thinking is, we just report, we do all kinds of bogus reports, or, this happened. So we work closely with Appalachian School District that implemented that last year. They said at the onset they did see, they had a little bit of that the first couple of weeks, but that really tailed off as the year went on. And they really had several instances throughout the year that they were very thankful that they had the system. They don't feel like they would have learned about it. So, just kind of took education going through that initial process.
Appaquinic was very positive about this act, and they thought it was very beneficial, and they were able to intervene into situations because of the act.
This isn't the only way. Of course, you can still go talk to your school counselor, you can still use an online form, you can still talk to your teacher. Another tool to help.
Any questions?
Yeah. I guess my first question is, you're right, most of the kids in this district have a phone, but not all do. Would this be available, like if they went home and got on their computer at home, is it available, is this same app available on their computer, or is it only going to be available as mobile?
I believe it is. How they would get that in terms of an app.
I mean, a lot of apps.
I don't know the technology to share that with you right now,
okay.
But I'm pretty sure that it is.
A lot of apps, Facebook, Nextdoor. You can always log into the PC and access everything. So the assumption that there is.
And it's a dollar a student is the cost for the app as well. So we actually are investing as far as purchasing the right app for each student. One thing, obviously, with the mobile, if you do have the access there, it's just a quicker. That's what our students are most used to reporting on and utilizing. Same token on our computer, we still have the forms, but sometimes that's a deterrent for some students to also submit.
Yeah. So I guess my other question is, I think this is great, so I don't want my question to sound like, I think this is great, I think we should do it. But kids aren't allowed to use their phones during school hours. I can just envision that time where a student pulls out his phone because there's something that he needs to report, and then a teacher sees him and there's a problem and he's trying to use the app. So not really a question, just kind of something that needs to be taken into account. I think they should probably be allowed to use this during the school day because hours count sometimes.
Mr. Zoll, Mr. Parsons, do you see any issues as far as within your schools, as far as in that regard?
I wouldn't anticipate that. I think it's really about educating our teachers. Mm-hmm. So if the student says, hey, working on this, this is why I did it. I think it's really about creating awareness and not making an issue of it, but understanding that the student only wrote something and felt the necessity to deal with that class. That's a different conversation than having to come out and
right. Right.
It may even be the other way around, where the teacher may encourage, hey, well, if you're feeling like there's something you need to report, remember, there's the app that you can use.
And my guess is
suggest that almost as a
since it is anonymous, I would imagine if the student's trying to be anonymous, they're going to make sure that they're not using it where they're seen, because the teacher, if the student gets caught with it and says, "Oh, I'm stop it," and then a day later somebody gets in trouble, they're like, "Oh, well, it's that guy, because he got caught." So I think they'll probably be pretty.
We have a few places in NCA called Blue Boxes that we can not report on the paper, but they can use them today.
I think
unfortunately for that, you see somebody put the paper in the box.
Right.
Trying to get as, anonymous as we can.
When I saw this on the agenda, I actually went online and I'm looking at it. I think it's great.
The technology is very simple, very simple. Yeah. So it's just more of a
communication.
Right.
We sometimes have students too to see things during the day, really shy about maybe speaking up for whatever reason during the day, that after the school day to sometimes, hey, all of a sudden they have this app and may encourage them to actually go ahead and then make sure we get this information as well. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
The other thing I wanted to share about is the We Are Milford Day. So this is a committee that is meeting right now. It's a part of it. The law administrators know about this and have working towards it. But we're going to have on November 2nd, which is the Saturday homecoming, a day of celebration up here on this campus. We think it's going to be, we're developing right now exactly what where it's going to be, but right out here in front of Milford Central Academy. We are going to planning a 5K run in the morning, kick off some activities, which will be student performances during the day, also partnering with a lot of our community members. They help food bank, Abbott's Mill, City of Milford, Boys and Girls Club are all committed to being here to share information. And we're kind of catch up. We know we're, November 2nd seems like a long way away, but not really. But that would be a fair type of setup with tables and that sort of thing. This is not a money making adventure, but I could be selling items and all that. In fact, I'm hoping to feed everyone at a low cost or free for your family to come out. Also, we'll have activities from each of the schools, bouncy houses. All of those type of things to really have a just one day of saying we are mobile. And so hope to announce this at the beginning of the year. We've already had some folks that said they wanted to donate some money towards the cause. So we're excited about the possibility. Seems like we meet again this Wednesday, so we just keep growing and more over time. We have a group of teachers and staff that are part of this committee. We hope this year to kind of kick it off and then
what time of the day do you?
So it's like a 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock, kind of that 5 day run in the morning, and then going through the lunch hour, but not going all the way to 4 or 5 o'clock. So.
Is that a date you intend to use in the future?
So we like the fact that it is homecoming, and that it was kind of that. So your pride, your Milford school system, Buccaneer. Realize that November, homecoming moves, but it also seems like homecoming doesn't conflict with other events in the community. So whenever other events are planned, they always kind of say, okay, when is homecoming? But we do have the parade, we do have the football games, and this would be the following morning, and then of course the homecoming game. So it is kind of a packed weekend. Also, November 2nd, the weather could be beautiful. It could also be going to be really cold at that time. So, part of the reason is to celebrate that we're no good at the Buccaneers and homecoming seems appropriate to really sell that message. And a date that we knew was also not taken at a title of conference.
November 2nd, election day?
It's a Saturday.
This year. This year's Saturday. You've got to watch out for November. That can fall on the first Tuesday of November.
I think we're looking at Saturday or homecoming, whenever that might be. So if that works out this year, just keep that Saturday. No matter what, it could be October, it could be. It could be even had as early as first, second, third, or even sixth. And then just one last comment, really quickly. We saw a photograph earlier of the new teachers. We had 38 new teachers last week. They all took a bus tour around the district, Cena Hill, and and our husband drove the bus, and we, it was great. We stopped at Slaughter Beach, weather was beautiful out there, went out to the pavilion, and then went around to each of the schools, and each, you know, they may be working at Milford High School, but they would never see Morris. They would never know, you know, if they moved to the area. So we had a mixture of course, Milford High graduates that were on the bus, and then that live in the community, and then also people who are from out, you know, have only lived in Delaware for maybe a month. So we went by Abbott's Mill, I went through House in Delaware, we were Lincoln, you know, spent some of the communities that may not see, you know, by just kind of driving on the main corridor. So we're able to show highlights of our community and also show, you know, how diverse we are, our students are not. So that was just one of the activities that we had during the 2 days after sharing some meals, and also got time for work in the class and classroom practices. So we're excited about the new group and the really dynamic level there. So thanks to everyone that helped.
Thank you. All right, instruction and student programs. Dr. Pritchett-Emery.
Good evening. This evening I'm seeking approval for two attached field trips. The first field trip is a request on behalf of NCA for 8th grade students to travel to Six Flags as a culminating field trip experience. There is a cost for people, however, the student activity count will assist with offsetting any of the costs for students that might be needed. And the second field trip request is also on behalf of NCA, but it is their agri-science program for FFA students to travel to the career development event in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the end of October. This is a field trip that our students have traditionally participated in as a part of their FFA program. Ms. Atten is our new agri-science teacher here at NCA, and she'll be doing overnight trip with funds available to our local FFA chapter. Programs 509 funds and a small portion out of students' expense account, and the activity fees will be absorbed by NCA if we need to. Any questions?
So they don't have to have the $200 individually?
We will work with them if there's a need. Yes, maybe that's what we have budgeted, but we will certainly work with them. We have funds that are available for offset.
And our high school students will be there, as well as Ms. Bruns is always very much help with this field trip as well. These are some of our FFA winners from the summer events over at the fair and the leadership events, and they now have a chance to get recognized on a national scale.
Okay. Do you want to do both the trips in one motion? I need to have a motion.
I make the motion that we approve both field trips presented this evening.
And Mr. Besmar has moved to accept the two field trips that have been presented to us tonight.
Second,
Mr. Miller has seconded the motion. Is there any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, so.
Our next item is just an update on our Abbott's Mill partnership. I just wanted to share with you that our PK through grade 5 Abbott's Mill partnership will continue to move forward this coming year. We've been very grateful for the local field opportunities in science that have been provided to our students. We're excited to see that continue. At this time, we are not expecting a PK increase, which is really good news because there was some consideration of that. But we are under the impression that it will remain stable for this coming year. And we have started to look at exploring how we could potentially expand into grade 6 and eventually move all the way through the rest of the grades as we continue to help them find the programming that's available to our students. And last but not least, an update on Ross Rangers. Mrs. McKenzie was very helpful in sharing some of the information. I just want to add that our Ross Rangers did have the opportunity to explore downtown Milford. They actually had the opportunity to earn money, and then they actually got to spend money. So if you are interested in learning more about the program, there is a full article on the Delaware Online, and you can actually see some photographs of our children actually using their money to buy toppings to go on their ice cream treat, which was a reward after walking in the heat downtown Milford. But it was really neat for our kids to be able to see the museum, go to the post office and see the radio letters. And it was all under the guise of helping our children actually exercise and use those English language skills that are required in the social environment. And I just want to share that Ribbon would not have been possible without the leadership of Montessa Brooks, of Ross, as well as the professional talent of Courtney Reed, Mary Silva, Brittany Campbell, Ileana Ferreira, Lizette Perez, Lucinda Robinson, and Casey Patrick. Thank you.
Okay, Director of Student Services, Ms. Laura Mangus.
Tonight I just have two things for you. One is the second read of the proposed board policy 6.17, which is a policy around independent educational evaluations. I know there was a question last at our last meeting, and I wanted to address just the question that you had posed about the potential for the policy to be more restrictive to our families and our students. I did go back and have a conversation with our counsel, Jim McMackin, and he explained that I would be asked to share this evening with all of you that he and the other firm that represent the 19 school districts in the state feel that this policy in particular is not limiting at all. They feel that it is very legally reasonable, and it will allow all of the families in our district, especially those with a unique need, to be considered and seek an exemption to the criteria. So just when I personally went back after hearing and sharing with you last time, and just kind of thought about your thoughts and reading it for the first time, I think what they tried to do, and we work with our legal counsel as directors of special services around the state to kind of have some narrowing of the criteria that we knew we needed to have in place that we in Delaware did not. We wanted to liken the options as similarly as possible to those that we're obligated as a school system to offer. So we felt that the valid licensure training of the administration of the test instruments and those evaluation areas, those are all required credentials for not just our state, but any state in the nation that has an evaluator that serves as a school psychologist or a speech clinician that does evaluations in this area. Also, the 45 or 90 days, which might seem limiting, but those are the federal regulations that we as school systems function under. So if we fall outside of those days, that's a compliance issue for the district. So we feel that that's equitable and fair to ask an independent evaluator to follow the same federal regulations that the school system would follow. And then the very last bullet there about the school district permitting parents, talk through a little bit about, we do have sometimes very unique disability classifications or medical diagnoses or needs that we would not be able to identify an evaluator for, maybe within 60 miles, maybe within 600 miles. And so we would, of course, consider that option or need and request the board give permission for something like that. Are there any other questions around that policy this evening? So could we please have
you could. All right, so what I need to have is a motion on approving this board policy 6.17, independent educational evaluation policy.
I move to approve board policy 6.17, independent educational evaluation policy as presented.
It has been moved by Mr. Miller to approve the board policy 6.17, independent educational evaluation policy. Do I have a second?
Thompson, a second.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, a second. Is there any question on the motion? Discussion? Okay. The motion is approval of board policy 6.17, independent educational evaluation policy. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Anybody abstaining? So approved.
Thank you. One other small bit of information to share this evening. The district had the opportunity to apply for a $35,000 619 or specialty pass-through funds grant through our Department of Education. So we worked with Jennifer Hallman and the Morris team, and we submitted a grant called the Comprehensive Early Childhood Program Expansion Grant, and it was specifically tied to our autism programming. We were approved for that grant in the amount of $34,601, which was very exciting for the program. The focus for the grant is around improving and expanding our adaptive playground equipment, adaptive furniture in the building as we expand our inclusionary programs, especially those for children with sensory and communication needs, to purchase additional curriculum materials, to expand our communication systems. If you ever have a chance to visit Dunn at Morris and see our kiddos working with PECs or other communication systems that we're utilizing through our ABA training, it requires quite a lot of materials, and we like to share those so that our students can have them in the home as well. So we do training for our parents in the parent training series so they can use similar methods of communication systems at home. We also were looking to expand our consultation with ABC so that all of the teachers at Morris Early Childhood Center would be familiar with working with all kids in an ABA manner. And the way we set our goals around that was to continue with the improvement of our ABER scores. So I think if you recall, last time I reviewed with you our ABER scores and the way we have that outside group coming in and rating us, and we're currently at a 3.0. And we hope with the expansion in some of these areas that we will be able to be next year reporting out of the 4.0.
Is that part of what Jamie Hill has done in the hallway with the sensory activities, or is that something different?
I'm sorry. Oh, so that's all part of expanding our ABA training.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the other part here, mental health training discussion. This was requested by Mr. Baltasar Lopez. We can either table it to further discussion when he is available, or if you had any other comments regarding mental health services and training that we presented last time.
I'm pleased to hear all of the trauma talk that we're hearing in all of the different trainings and everything. But I think probably as far as discussion, that he was part that instigated that, and I think that we probably should table that.
Okay, we'll put it on a future agenda as well.
All right, so now I need to get a motion to go into executive session.
So
it's been moved by Mr. Miller.
I'll second it. Thompson.
Okay, Mr. Thompson has seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, we are in executive session.